Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
New World Report with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. Venezuela, a rogue state, a failed state under a dictator who crushes opposition and denies the vote and has driven his people into despair and flight. The millions that have poured out of Venezuela, some of whom or many of whom are in New York City and other major American cities, continue. The flight from Venezuela has to do with food security, medical attention, opportunity. Venezuelans are right now of note because the Biden administration has made announcements about who can stay, who is to leave. Back in Caracas, however, there is news that Venezuela has agreed to return to Mexico-based talks with the opposition. Professor, I've lost track because they've done this before. What does it mean? What is the bargain that is going on that Caracas shows up and then it leaves and it shows up and then it leaves? The opposition itself has changed its face and prospects these many years.
John, unfortunately, my fear is in the end, it really means very, very little. But, clearly, Maduro and his government are responding to some degree to U.S. incentives in ways that are getting the things that they want. And what Maduro and his cronies want is an end to the sanctions that impair their access to wealth and that farther impede their ability to take their government forward. So we basically moved from under the Trump administration in attempt to impose targeted sanction to try to change Venezuelan behavior and isolate the regime, something which only partially worked at best, to an orientation under the Biden administration of basically a selective lifting of sanctions to try to get Maduro back to the table and also other desirable behaviors such as releasing hostages. And yet what you see is that Maduro time and time again takes half measures in response to get sanctions lifted. We've already had the allowing of Chevron to extract oil in Repsol and Eni to extract oil. And so the latest is that if Maduro at least gives the impression that he's going to come back to negotiate in a way that would take us toward a legitimate presidential election, that the U.S. Essentially in advance or along the way would respond to positive steps by maybe freeing up some more oil. There's talk of that it would maybe a French company, Mariel & Prom, that would be allowed to export some more oil. The estimation is that, if we continue down this route, on top of the reintegration of Venezuela into the regional economy, with Colombia, with the participation of others, collaborating with Trinidad and Tobago, with respect to development of oil. There are other actors such as the Chinese and the Russians who are the key players in the Venezuelan oil sector. This combination of things, we could see Venezuela effectively doubling his oil output. And we can recall that Iran has a role in that as well. Unfortunately, the problem is that, sitting down in talking versus actually doing something that would make actually free and fair elections are two very different things. Right now, for example, we're going into a primary on October 22nd between the 13 opposition candidates. And although the opposition is trying very hard to present a face of unity, the two leading candidates, Maria Corina Machado, who has about 40% of the vote, as well as Enrique Capriles, are both basically disqualified from running for the presidency theoretically, even if they are selected as the opposition candidates. Then there are grave questions about the conditions with the essentially the Maduro-controlled electoral authority. Would there be legitimate voting machines? Would there be equal access in Prochivista versus other areas? Would there be intimidation of getting opposition's actors to the voting polls? And so there's a whole series of different questions to say, well, would these in any way even be vaguely free or fair or observed? But at least the current disposition of the Biden administration is, okay, if you take at least some baby steps towards this, we're willing to do certain things for you. Basically going for carrots, not sticks. We'll see to what extent it works. It has not, in my opinion, worked very well in the past, but this is the route we're going down.
You mentioned Iran, Professor, and the relationship between Tehran and Caracas has long been out in the open about the oil, about ships sailing towards Venezuela in some fashion, about provocations. Iran is intimately involved in the Maduro regime. Is that correct? We have about a minute.
Absolutely, and from the very beginning, Iran, of course, just visited Venezuela as well as Cuba and Nicaragua, Ibrahim Raisi, as well as his defense minister to negotiate new deals, and of course also the question of the role of other groups such as Hezbollah in Venezuela, working through people like former oil minister Tariq al-Assami, among others, and the possible entrance of Iranian Quds forces through Convias Airlines and others into Venezuela and from Venezuela elsewhere in the region. And so the question more broadly in Venezuela is one of those beachheads, but across the regime has long been Iran and its surrogates, especially Hezbollah, working places like Argentina, working places like Brazil and elsewhere in the region. Not unlike, sadly, the questions that we see now of the question of the role of Iran behind Hamas, as well as Hezbollah in the attacks against Israelis just days ago.
Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College, Strategic Studies Institute, The New World Report. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.